So this is Forrest Solis interviewing Sue
Malinsky
on June 20th, 2016 at 5:01 p.m. So maybe start out by just telling us a couple things so that we can make sure the audio is okay.
That's fine.
Okay, so go take us back to the conception. You know,
really?
Yeah, was it planned?
No, it was not planned. In fact, I had just gotten married and got pregnant immediately. And so I thought at that time in 1960, that was natural. I mean, you didn't plan your births. You just got married and had babies and stayed at home and took care of them. And so it was a bad pregnancy. I got sick. I mean, morning sickness was common. And it was so cute because I had a dog that would lay on my stomach, you know, when I'd have to lay on the floor and put my legs up on a chair just to feel comfortable. And she would lay across my stomach knowing that, and it was a small dog, so it was comfortable. She kept my tummy warm, and that helped. And I couldn't eat anything except I would take tortillas, small tortillas, put them in the toaster, and then spread canned beans on them and eat tostadas. I could eat tostadas and eggs. That was all I could eat without throwing up. It was miserable. And the problem with it is that it never went away. It continued. I never became unsick. And I had excessive saliva. I would walk around with a cup and have to spit because if I kept swallowing, that would make the nausea worse. And he couldn't give me anything for it, he said. And it was a specialist for pregnancies, a very well-known doctor. And finally, we went on a trip with some friends out to North Scottsdale, and there were no houses at that time, and it was to a ruins. And I was never feeling well, so I was uncomfortable in this tiny small car that we had called a Renault. And during the day before, there had been a storm, and the rains took part of the gravel road away, and we did not realize this. And so the car dropped down at least a foot. And when that did, my head bounced up, hit the top of the ceiling of the car, and then back down to the seat. And it was such a terrific hit that I was uncomfortable. My back hurt, everything hurt. And we got home, I wasn't feeling good. So I went to bed. And during the night, I had to wake up my husband because the stomach was grotesque. It looked like some outer space movie because the arms and legs of the baby were actually coming out and to such a degree 3 and 4 inches from my stomach. And it was moving and it hurt. And he just rolled over and said, ignore it. And so the next day, I still didn't feel good. Felt very bad. It was my appointment, luckily. So I went in and saw the doctor, and he said that we would wait a week and see how things were going. Now, to take you back a little bit backwards, because I was so ill and because of the saliva problem, I had been taking a pill to hold the baby because he felt I was going to abort the baby. And I felt that this pill was making me ill. And so I kept complaining about it. And that was part of one of the problems. So finally, after this, he said, you can stop taking the pill. And then the week went by, and I had to go in again to see how the situation was. He says, well, I'm going to break your water, and then we're going to put you in the hospital. And I thought, no, I can't do that. My bassinet isn't finished. I had not finished my bassinet and got the baby's room ready. And I my parents were going to go on a trip to Mexico, and they'd be gone a month. I'd have to, you know, I couldn't have my baby now. My mother was planning tomorrow to go to Mexico, and I couldn't have my baby without my mother. And so I said, no, I have to go home. I have to finish my bassinet. I can't have the baby now. And he says, well, then you call me when it's time. I said, okay. So I went home, and during the night, I felt like, oh my gosh, I had to go to the bathroom so bad. I had to have a bowel movement. And so I managed to get out, struggle to get out of bed because I was so huge. I was skinny because I couldn't eat, but I had this huge stomach that propelled out of my skin out of the front of me. And so I went to the bathroom. Only problem was it was all blood. And I looked down because it seemed kind of strange. And so I called my husband. He was asleep, and I called him. And he came in, and I said, call the doctor. And he did, and he said, oh my God, she's having her baby. Get her into the hospital now. And so we got back into the Renault and rushed to the hospital. And it was so funny because we had not agreed on a name. And I said, it should be Andrew William Malinsky. And during this ride, he had the radio on, and it was some song. I don't know which one. I wish I could remember, but I can't remember the song. But he said, this is a song I was, listen to this. This is a song I was telling you about. And I thought, oh my God, I'm in so much pain. You want me to listen to a song? And he says, by the way, I decided the baby's name should be Andrew Leonard, because that was his name. Leonard was his name. And so I agreed to everything. I just get me to the hospital. And so they got me to the hospital, got me on a gurney, got me in the room, and the nurse was there with a needle to numb me or do whatever. And they said, no, there's no time, the baby's coming. So without any medication, without anything, I had Andy. Only problem is I went out right after the delivery. I can remember them saying, well, here comes the afterbirth, and that's all I remember. I don't remember seeing my baby. I don't remember anything. About 5 days later, without seeing my baby and everybody in the room at that time, there was, I think, four other women. There were five of us in this room having babies. And I remember them all getting to see their baby, except me. And they kept saying, you know, not all babies are pretty. And I thought, oh, my baby would be pretty, you know. And so finally, I became hysterical because I just knew my baby was dead, and that's why they weren't bringing my baby to me. And so finally, they brought my baby to me. She walked into the room. It was all covered with a blanket except for the head. And I thought it was a doll. And so if she turned and walked away, it would have been fine waiting for my baby. Instead, she handed it to me. And I thought, it's not real. The head was huge. It had slit for eyes.
Sorry, there was a fly on the mic, and it landed on the mic.
Okay.
So, can you, I'm so sorry, can you go back to when she handed it to you?
She handed me the baby, and the minute I touched my baby, it became mine. All of a sudden, that was okay. It was beautiful. It had little slits for eyes, a little slit for a nose, and a little slit for a mouth. Had no features. It was solid, swollen. And when I opened up, because I had to check the body and count the toes, count the fingers, and it was beautiful, except the skin was hanging off the bones. The baby was so early. And but covering it up, it was beautiful. But all my relatives would come in and say, we're so sorry. You know, not all babies are born beautiful. I thought, what are they talking about? My baby's beautiful. And he's turned out to be the most beautiful, handsome man you ever saw. And intelligent. He served in the Air Force. And he's done wonderful things. He's married and has two little girls.
That was awesome. I mean, I don't think you even need to edit anything. That's the most seamless story I've ever heard. Can you tell us how far along you were so that we know what early was? Were you like 7 months?
I was probably just beginning my 7th month.
And then, do you know how much he weighed or any of that kind of information?
Oh, he was long. He was really long, and the head weighed close to 7 pounds. Yeah, it was 6-something, but close to 7 pounds. Yes, it was a big baby. He's 6'2" now. Yeah, he's 6'2". He was a large boy. So, but he was skin and bone, just skin and bone.
So were they feeding him formula for those?
Oh, no, I nursed. Oh, my God. And I was a small-breasted woman, and my breast became so huge, I could not see over them laying down. Now, I told my husband, go get a camera and take a picture. I said, I want to see what it looks like, you know, because I couldn't see them. They were so big, I could not see the nipples. And they, of course, the first thing they did was try to get the baby to nurse. And then they would bound me. They bound me up so that the swelling or whatever would go down because I was so huge. And my father, he wouldn't even come in the room. I mean, it was grotesque, they said.
Okay, you're saying you were huge?
Yes, my breasts were so huge I couldn't see over them when I was laying down. It was unbelievable. I wanted a camera and take pictures.
So they bound your breasts?
They bound my breasts.
With just...
And I... With gauze around me. Uh-huh. And I nursed my baby for at least 3 months. And he had... the one thing he did have, because the stomach, I guess, because of his early birth, had a bubble in it. So it's called colic. And he cried. And so I would have to sit up with him. He would have to be upright in order for him. He couldn't lay down without crying, the pain. And so we gave him a pacifier. I swore I'd never do that, but I had to give him a pacifier. And we got a bed. It was from Costco or someplace. I don't remember. I think that was the name of the bed. And it was a low bed with netting for sides, but it was right off the floor, and so I could get in the bed and sit in the bed upright and hold him so that he wouldn't cry all night, and I would sleep like that. At 3 months, he had the pacifier in his mouth, and he spit it across the room, and that was the end of the colic, and it was the end of the pacifier, and then he went on to a bottle and formula.
Can you talk a little bit about that era of having babies? Like, what was standard practice?
Well, they did not have anything like they do today. I mean, having an early birth, they had the little beds they would put them in, you know, that were monitored. But they had, I think, you know, the medications and the knowledge wasn't there. And for instance, I was torn instead of being cut because there was no time. I was torn by the baby coming out of the birth. The head was so huge, it tore me. And so they would, during the days that I spent, they would put my legs up in stirrups, and then they would put a heat lamp on me to help the healing. The only thing is, it was a pull on my uterus, and a pull on my back would be in extreme pain. And they couldn't give me any all they had is painkillers that were extreme, and that would dry up my milk, it would hurt me from nursing, and I had to nurse my baby. So I went through it, you know, the whole episode was... They said, well, you can't remember your birth. So that was the one thing I remember thinking, because I was told that right away. Women do not remember their birth. And that's how you can have so many births, because you have no remembrance of the pain. And so I thought, okay, I will then associate it with something that would be painful, so I could say it was as bad as. And the closest thing I would come up with was Harry Carey. And so, and I tell somebody, what's it like to have a baby? It's like taking a knife and sticking in your stomach and turning it. That's how I remember my births. I had two more. I lost two babies. There was one, I became pregnant again. And because I became ill with the medication to hold the baby again, I thought, I'm not going through this again. So, and I, my appointment was for another week or 2 weeks before I'd see the doctor, but I just couldn't handle the illness and take care of the other one. And it was just 6 months after I had my baby that I became pregnant. So I could not, I couldn't be sick like that and take care of Andy. So I stopped my medication. And then I would say maybe 3 days later, I remember feeling really sick to my stomach and going over to see my parents and sitting in the chair. And I thought, oh, I better go back to my apartment because I'm going to have a bowel movement. And so I went back and I had the baby in the toilet. And there was the fetus. They couldn't get me off the toilet. And all I kept doing is crying because my baby. And they told the doctor on the phone, we can't get her off the toilet. Please come into the hospital, please. I couldn't get off the toilet because I was attached to my baby and I would not leave. And finally, I had to go. And there was no choice. And so they took the baby and a bottle, I guess, and it was a little girl, and so I lost that one, but we named her Wendy, so that was my little girl, and someday I'll see her in heaven. So then the next time I was pregnant, I took my medication, but Andy was older, so I could adapt to it. He changed it, and so after the 3 months, I wasn't sick anymore, and that was a pretty good pregnancy. And when I had Andy, I remember Kenny. It was Kenny, my second son, and he was. If I hadn't seen, was awake again. I was awake, but they did. There was enough time. It came so fast, but there was enough time to cut me. And I did have some minor medication, but you still feel the pain. And they picked the baby up and put it on my chest. He was red. He was beet red, and he had stark black hair, whereas Andy was bald. And if I wasn't awake and they showed me this baby, it wasn't my baby because I was blonde. And my husband had sandy color hair. And here was this black, straight hair. And so, anyhow, he looked like an Indian. And so I can remember them bringing the baby to me. And the little gal that was there, she wasn't a nurse, she was a helper. And she put a pink bow in his head, in his hair, and brought him in and said, "This is the prettiest little girl in the nursery." And I said, "That little girl is my son." But, oh, he was beautiful. Oh, my gosh, he was beautiful. So that one was okay. They're not quite 2 years apart because I became pregnant again. And so then the next loss of a baby was really early, in the early stage. And I can't even give you why or when. I was up in Payson. We lived in the valley, but my parents had bought some property and had a small cabin, and we were staying in the cabin for the weekend with the two children, and I aborted, but it was really early stages. And then I became pregnant again. That was about 4 years later, and again, I was sick, so I knew immediately. Actually, to tell you the truth, after we had intercourse, if I was sick the next morning, I knew I was pregnant. It happened that fast, immediately. And my body, the doctor finally told me, nature and God is trying to tell you something. that it's not natural for you to have a baby because it's a foreign substance in my body and it makes me sick and trying to get rid of it. So my body was not equipped really to have a lot of children, and I wanted 8. And so I'm settling for 3. And Randy, I was the illest. And I had to take care of my other 2 children. And I remember my husband staying away from the house as much as possible during that pregnancy because I was really, I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. And I would crawl from room to room. I couldn't even stand. I remember a girlfriend coming over to visit me and we carried on a conversation and she left. And she stayed for about 2 hours. She later told me that I never spoke a word. But I was doing it in my mind. I was that ill. And finally, I had called someone and said, I am really sick. Now, my parents stayed away too. Everybody stayed away from me. So no one realized how really ill I was. And finally, I had communicated enough that I had to go see the doctor. And my mother took me into the office, and I didn't feel well. I couldn't stand. And so they put me on a table in one of the rooms. And when the doctor came in, now I had not talked. I wasn't talking. And he came in, and he took all of my signs to see what they were. My mother was there. And he said, we have to put her in the hospital before she loses the baby. And with that, I started crying. Somebody was going to take care of me. And she said, well, there's going to be a few deficiencies, but is she that ill? He said, she's about ready to die. This baby is taking everything she has. And so I stayed in the hospital for about a week. And was well enough to come home. And then they were giving me enough vitamins and things. And I felt well again. Till I had the baby. And he was just gorgeous. And that's my Randy. And after that I decided, you know, even though my faith says this is against their religion to take birth control pills, I'm going to take them. So from that point on, I didn't have any more children, even though I wanted them. But that was my ordeal through the 3 pregnancies. And they were, I think the oldest and the youngest is about 6 years apart. So that was in the first 6 years of my marriage. That was it. Our marriage didn't last. We later moved to Payson. And you really have to like the person you're with in Payson because there is nothing to do. So you better have your best friend with you. And I didn't. He met somebody else, and I really was thankful. But I had gone to not a gypsy, but someone who would give you readings. And she told me that my husband, don't ever say you want to leave. Just say that you're unhappy. And he will ask you for the divorce. But if you ask him, he will deny you one. And so when he asked me for a divorce, I started laughing because it was word for word what she had told me. And he thought that I was hysterical or something. And I said, no, that's meant to be. And just wanted the separation for a while and then we'll get divorced because I didn't want the 3 children to be too upset. So that's how it ended. And I became my own person. I went back into my arts. And I made a good living. And he is a retired school teacher. And I just sold my business for $6 million. Awesome. And I'm going to retire because I'm 80 now. And that's the story.
That's freaking amazing. You are, seriously, are one of our very top storytellers. Like, you have a gift for storytelling.
I used to be able to give speeches. In fact, one of the biggest speeches was at Mesa Community College for Women in Business. There were 500 attendees. But about 3 years ago, I had a stroke, and I was asked to speak at the Realtors' thing. With all the once a month they have a meeting. And I got up in front of them, and then for the first time I realized I could not pronounce all my words. I hesitated because my brain could not follow through. Even though I was thinking it, I couldn't say it. I had to apologize after a few words and thank them for asking me, but that I could not really give them what they intended, me to give them, because I could not follow through as a speaker anymore. But I gave lectures through the years. Yes.
How have you recovered like this then?
Well, I went after they gave me medication for coming out of it. I went blind, and I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. And finally, that scared me. I didn't tell anybody how scared I was about the blindness. But slowly, I got my eyesight back. I saw threes, and then I saw twos, and then I finally got sight. But I have glasses for everything. I am blurry-eyed without my glasses. That's never happened before. And I became okay when I went to refill my medications they had given me, and it was $300 or $500 for one medication alone. I said, keep these. So I went to the wellness center, and they took care of me, and I'm fine.
Wow. You have had an incredible life experiences. I mean, that's really, it's amazing.
I just look at it as being different lives. I've had many lives. And fun. But unfortunately, what happens when you're going through your different periods of time and you become these different personalities, you think you're having a struggle and you're not realizing how great it is. The only time I really paid attention and realized that I better pay attention was when I had my babies, that they were going to grow really fast. And those moments in the beginning were just fleeting. And so really pay attention to how much fun I was having with them and making it the most and trying to remember the most. I was so busy all the time. I didn't have time to make notes. But trying to remember, making a point to remember certain things in their lives. And I took some pictures. The picture taking kind of waned at the third one. But remembering certain things and certain moments in time. And now that I'm 80, I catch myself going back and when I see a baby and remembering and feeling that holding my son, what it was like. And rocking him or talking to him. It was great. And those are my finest moments.
I mean, she's like, you can't plan this stuff. That was an awesome ending to the recording. Yeah.
So good.
Okay. Are we stopping?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to end on that note.